must be 4:07 in the afternoon, and I am Ann Eller, and today my very special guest is Shannon Riley. You know, he's running for, what is he running for? Is it District 13 there for a House representative taking over, wants to take over Gene Pinson's old office? Is that right, Shannon?
That's right, Ann.
And sure is good to have you here. You've been very busy.
I have been busy. It's good to be here, and I appreciate you having me. It's always a pleasure.
Absolutely. It's going to be we're going to learn more about Shannon Riley. Now, Shannon, I understand, gosh, you've been knocking on a lot of doors. Have you counted up how many doors you've knocked on?
I haven't counted, Ann, but it's been a long process, but a good process. I would say well over 1,500, maybe 2,000 doors.
Have you wore out a pair of shoes yet?
I have worn out a pair of shoes, the front and the back, the heel, the back, and the bottom. But I have, and that's been a really good experience. It's a great way to get out and meet folks and for them to get to know you. And, you know, you might spend 30 seconds at a door, you might spend 45 minutes there, and you that's really the best way.
I guess the ones you spend 45 minutes with, you feel pretty good about when you walk out the door, right?
Usually so, but, you know, that's what's good about it, is I think that's the best way to get out there and get your message out there and for folks to get to know you, mm-hmm. and you get to know them, and to do the most important thing, and I think that is to listen.
Well, you know, you're a first-time politician. What's the biggest thing you've learned out of this whole process? I mean, gosh, you were back in June, you walked away, you thought you were totally victorious for winning the Republican primary, and then, of course, that was the debacle with the on-the-ballot, off-the-ballot, and you ended up back on the ballot as the Republican candidate. But what have you learned through all this, Shannon?
I tell you, Ann, it's been really a roller coaster of a summer, really a roller coaster of a campaign. But it's been good. One thing I've learned is that we need some simple rules about filing. We need some straightforward and clear rules about filing. Should not be hard. Should be as simple as saying, candidate, you need to do A, B, C, mm-hmm. and follow these instructions. It should be a simple, easy thing to do.
Now, Shannon, one of the things that we need to make clear with the people is that you actually did take a paper copy when you went to file.
That's correct.
Economic statement?
Statement of economic interest, right.
That's right.
Which is a statement that discloses the amount of monies that you received from the state than the prior year in order for there not to be a conflict
okay.
in the position.
So technically, you shouldn't have a problem, but you were drawn into the whole problem, weren't you?
I was drawn into it. I was. And, you know, I think it's unfortunate that it happened that way. You know, we live in a democracy, and we live in a society that should promote everybody to run for office, or anyone who has an interest in running for office, regardless of their socioeconomic background, whether they're rich or poor. It should be an easy process. It should be something that we promote and make easy for folks to do.
Right.
So I did get drawn into that, yes.
But in the end, you were put back on, and you are the Republican candidate for House District 13.
That's right.
Okay. So now, you, of course, grew up here in Greenwood, the Harris Mill Village. You went to Greenwood County Public Schools, and you're a big outdoorsman.
That's right.
You know, have you been hunting? Isn't hunting season going on now, Shannon?
This campaign is getting in the way a little bit, and it's...
Are you looking forward to November 6th?
I am looking forward to it. You know, I started when I was a kid, but my dad, he was a bird hunter, a quail hunter, and that's what all the old Southern gentlemen did back when we had some wild quail, you know, running around. I followed my dad around through the bushes a lot, and we had bird dogs, and that's really how it began. Of course, there weren't many deer back then. The quail population diminished, and the deer started exploding, and then we started getting turkeys around. You know, I was raised on our old family cotton farm up there. I spent all my time there. I was actually raised, like you said, in the Mill Village. But, you know, I developed an appreciation for the outdoors and for, you know, conservation. It's extremely important to me that we take care of our natural resources. The older I've gotten, the more I am more into conservation, planting food plots, and bringing folks along who've never hunted to try to continue the future of the sport. I think when you bring kids along, you bring women along, or people who've never hunted before, you know, the outdoors and hunting teaches them just a vast array of things, character qualities. It teaches them to respect all living things. It teaches them to, you know, conserve what we do have and to make sure and have appreciation for it and make sure that it's there for future generations. So I enjoy that part.
Now, I know that you know Mike Pitts, and, of course, that new... that new preserve that is up there outside of Ware Shoals. Mm-hmm. Have you happened to been to that?
I've not been to that. I knew about it. I think it's about 500 acres of wildlife management area, and I think that's really good because I've been fortunate to have, you know, a family farm that I can hunt on private property there. But, you know, there's so many folks that aren't that fortunate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they need a place to go and enjoy the outdoors, and I'm thankful that we have someone like Mike in Columbia that is working for sportsmen and conservationists and people who want to get out and be a part of the outdoors. And you know, those areas provide places for those people who, you know, otherwise would not have a place to go. And I think that's a good thing.
I think so. And I think, you know, you look at the explosion of Greenville. I don't think they probably thought that far ahead, did they? I mean, I don't know of many places. Maybe there are up there in Greenville, but you look at a lot of concrete up there, and here in our area, we are fortunate to still have some wide open spaces.
That's right. You know, you look at areas like Simpsonville that, you know, in the past 10, 15 years, it went from dairy farming and pastures and rural area to, you know, a Target and TJ Maxx and a IMAX 3D theater. So, you know, it's definitely exploded up in that area. So I think the more areas we have for the public to be able to have access to hunt, the better.
Absolutely. Now, why did you get into this race? I mean, you know, I let's see, you're a constable with the Abbeville County Sheriff's Office. You have your own small business. I would think that life would be pretty full for you, Shannon.
Well, life is full, but that's the way I like it. Obviously, if I'm elected to this position, I'm going to have to make some, I'm going to have to let some things go, make some concessions for some things. But I like to be busy. I like to be well-rounded. I like to get out there and learn new things and meet new people. And, you know, being an entrepreneur and someone who's involved in various things allows me to do that. And, you know, I like to get out and meet people in everything that I do. The constable work that I've done over the years has been just, such a rewarding experience. I put a lot of hours in doing that prior to my campaign. Something that I hope I can continue to do after the campaign. Obviously not as much as I was able to prior.
Well,
but, you know,
won't be making a lot of money in this job, Shannon. In case you don't know, you will not be making a lot of money.
But I think it's important. It's really important to give back, you know, to the community and everything you should do. And, you know, my constable.
But why did you decide to go after this House seat?
Well, you know, there are various reasons. One, the most important thing is I wanted Greenwood to have sincere representation in Columbia. You know, the district lines were redrawn every 10 years. That happens, and this year was one of those years. It was going to take in Hodges and Ware Shoals, which is where I live up in Hodges. I was going to take that area over, and, you know, I felt that, you know, I wanted to represent the folks in rural Greenwood County. I love the rural atmosphere. I love the small town, and I love Greenwood too. But, you know, Hodges, Ware Shoals, Callison 96, Kirksey, those areas, I mean, they're just wonderful small towns with a family-type atmosphere, and that's what I like. And I'd like to make sure that all those people have a voice. You know, I've had people that have come to me during this campaign and have donated $5, and I'm certain they didn't have $5 to donate.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes those people don't get a voice, and I want to make sure that all people have a voice.
So what do you think are the biggest issues? I mean, we all say jobs, 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 and I do think jobs are the big issue, but how can we get more jobs into our area, Shannon?
I think that's a good question, Ann, and I think that's, you know, the $64 million question. You know, some ideas that I have are, you know, of course, I'm a small business owner. You know, corporations get tax incentives and tax breaks, and you know, small businesses don't get much of that. I'm all for, you know, corporations and large industry, you know, bringing jobs in and coming in and helping them as much as we can. But I think small businesses need help too, as I think we've talked about before. You know, small businesses employ a lot of people, and I think providing incentives for people to start small businesses is a great thing to do. I think that's one of the best ways we can bring, you know, jobs to this county.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to hear a quick word from our sponsors. When we come back, we're going to be talking more about the jobs, and we'll talk more about his small business experience, because I know that gives him a unique perspective when we talk about going down there to Columbia. Hey, I'm Ann Eller. I'm here with Shannon Riley. If you've got a question or a comment, don't hesitate to call us 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We'll be right back.
Goodbye, gray sky, hello blue. There's nothing can hold.
Gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. Saturday, what a day.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here at Sharp Facets Gallery. I have Shannon Riley with us. He is running for House District 13. Now, just for the record, Shannon, what area of the county do you cover?
Well, this District 13 covers what I like to say is the majority of Greenwood County, but it leaves most of Greenwood City out. Not all of Greenwood City, but most of Greenwood City. So it starts at the Abbeville County line up in Ware Shoals. It comes all the way around, takes in part of 96 out near the lake, and comes all the way back around, loops around the county line, back up near Callison. So it's a big backwards C shape. So it's a big geographic area.
Yeah. Interesting. So we were talking about small businesses. What do you think is the answer to getting small businesses? And are you looking for small businesses, i.e. businesses maybe from outside the state coming in? Or are you looking to get more people into starting a small business that already are here in South Carolina?
Well, I think, you know, certainly either is good because they create jobs. But I think taking the resources we have here now and using those resources and encouraging people, maybe training seminars or teaching those folks how they can start their own business, giving them aid in starting their own business so that they can be self-sufficient. You know, if they can't find a job working for someone else, there's always a job in the service industry that you know, there's a need. And I think,
speaking of that, you're in the service industry, aren't
right.
you?
That's right.
What is your business?
Well, we have a commercial janitorial business, and we are very small, but we do some office cleaning at night. And, you know, there's always places to be clean.
That's right. And there's always 24 hours in a day, right?
That's exactly right.
I used to say there were 24 hours in a day. Now I say there are only 24 hours in a day. I could use 27 or 28, I think, now.
Couldn't we all? Couldn't we all?
So you think that, how would we go about doing that? When you go down there to Columbia, what is your kind of your focus as far as business, small businesses?
Well, you know, I think that oftentimes, unfortunately, we look at the Amazons, we look at the big corporations that come in, and again, I think that's good, and I think it's great to have them here in the state, and we need to offer incentives for them, but I just don't see the incentives there for small business people, for people who employ a big percentage of our population. I think we need to help them with any kind of tax breaks that we can. I think we need to help them with licensing. We need to help them with, you know, lowering workers' comp rates. So anything that would help lend itself to that, you know, I'd be in favor of doing.
And then, of course, there's the health care issue coming up, looming very fast right
exactly.
here. Yes.
Exactly.
So that's going to be a big issue, too. Now, the workers' comp, it never has made sense to me why they are so outrageous in South Carolina. I mean, do you know why?
Well, you know, I tend to believe that, you know, as with any other situation, sometimes it's taken advantage of, and that's unfortunate. It's there to help people who need it. It's there to help, you know, protect employers.
Mm-hmm.
But I think oftentimes you have folks that see that there as an opportunity, and they go and find someone to represent them, and it ends up being frivolous. And I think that drives the cost up for everybody.
So, do we need to have tort reform also?
I would be in favor of some of that. I'd be in favor of some loser pays.
Absolutely. So. Now, what are the people that you're talking to, your supporters out there? Have you talked to them about small business? And I'm sure you've talked to small business owners.
I have, and you know, it's you know, jobs are on everyone's mind, just as you said. Wasteful government spending, a lot of people are talking about that. You know, we have a very limited resource pool with our tax dollars, and I think oftentimes there's the connotation that because, you know, it's a government, that the money's unlimited. But, you know, I've talked about prioritization before and how, you know, we have to prioritize our spending just as we all should do in our private homes and our private lives. And you
isn't
know,
that what credit cards are for, Shannon?
Well,
just thought I'd bring that up.
I tell you, I think as a nation, as a country, as a family, we can't spend more than we take in, or we can't live beyond our means, as my dad likes to put it, being the conservative banker.
Yeah.
So, I think it's you know, when you're in private industry, you know, you have to get out there and accomplish something or get the work done at the end of the day before you get paid.
Right.
And I think with government, the tax dollars are there, and I think that's, you know, one of the problems. And oftentimes we have lots of groups and entities that need money, need funding, and you know, we only have a certain amount of revenue coming in. The revenue stream is limited, so I think that it's important.
Well, I guess you can always up the revenue stream, can't you? I mean, isn't well, that higher taxes? I mean,
right.
That's what our federal government is talking about right now.
And I don't agree with that. Nobody is going to sit here in front of you and tell you that they're for raising taxes. You know,
particularly
they're not,
right before an election.
Exactly, but you know, but I can tell you that you know, I don't know what we may have to do if I'm elected, and you know, there again, we have important issues that are out there, and you know, that have to be funded, and you know, I'm certainly not a proponent of more government or more taxes in any way. I'm more a proponent of, hey, let's make the necessary decisions where we need to make them, and prioritize the way we need to, and do with what the funding that we have.
You know, I think a lot of people say you get down to Columbia and it's like a bubble and it's a whole different world. Not unlike when people go to Washington, D.C., that it's a whole different world. And, you know, I think some of the bureaucracy that we have down there and the amount of people that we have working, I mean, yes, they're employed, but do we really need all these things to be part of running the government?
I don't know that we do. And, you know, I think it probably is a bubble. But that's one thing that I'm serious about is staying close to my roots. I always have, and you know, I want to set a different example and be here for everybody and stay in touch here and spend more time here than I do there. Hopefully, you know, and especially in the off season if I'm elected. And you know, I think that's the most important thing that you can't lose sight of, is that you're here to represent the people and to serve the people and serve their interests, not to get yourself reelected.
You know, I know that you've probably talked to a lot of politicians that are already in office. I know you've been at some events with, like, Mike Pitts and Jeff Duncan. Have they given you any particular pieces of advice?
Well, they've encouraged me to stay true to myself, to stay true to my roots, you know, and to always tell folks where I'm coming from. I always tell them, you know, where I stand on the issues, and to be straightforward. And, you know, both of the folks you've mentioned have always done that with me. And I appreciate that in anybody, but especially in someone who represents me both at the state level and at the federal level.
Absolutely, yeah. So just another question right off the top of my head here. When you go down there to Columbia, what type of committees would you like to work on?
Well, you know...
not that you'll get to, but just what would you like to work on, Shannon?
Well, you know, my heart is at the farm, like we've talked about before, you know. I was raised, again, in a unique environment, I think, for someone of my generation. You know, my grandparents were southern cotton farmers, as I've mentioned several times before. And they were able to keep their farm through the Great Depression. And, you know, that was something, you know, back then. And
Ooh.
And we're still able to have the farm and the family. And those Great Depression-era values and influences were passed on to me from my grandparents and my parents. You know, the value of hard work. Those ethics, the value of taking care of others around you, and you know, sense of community, and you know, I think that you know, that's where my heart is, and that's where I've.
So you'd like to work maybe on
sure.
rural issues?
Yeah, you know, the ag committee mm-hmm. is something that I would be interested in. Also, you know, they deal with hunting rules and regulations also, and conservation efforts. So that would probably be where most of my passion would be. I also, like I've mentioned before, I'm very passionate about law enforcement and my involvement there. You know, with my Uncle Sam having been the sheriff for 4 terms, I always looked up to him and admired him and the way he did things with integrity.
It was a different time, wasn't it? I've been here since Sam was here, and it was a different time for law enforcement.
It was, and I think it's more and more crucial now, since times have changed so much, that the folks that you deal with have changed. The criminal mind has changed. You know. People now will hurt you. People now don't respect the badge and the uniform as much as they used to. And that's why I think we need to take care of our men and women that serve in the law enforcement capacity. We need to We need to protect them. We need to make sure that they can do their job the right way, not only that they have the resources they need, but they can do their job the right way without worrying about making the wrong decision and getting themselves hurt or killed over it. So I think we need to support them.
Absolutely. We are here with Shannon Riley. He is going to be here right up till 5 o'clock. If you have a question or a comment, don't hesitate to give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We'll be right back.
This is Philip Biffle, your Greenwood Edward Jones Financial Advisor. Do you have a recovery plan for your investments? If not, there are several reasons we think you should. While interest rates are very low, certain income strategies and investments could help increase your investment income. Also, many investment portfolios are out of balance at a time when proper investment diversification may be most critical. You also may want to review your portfolio to consider replacing lower quality investments with higher quality investments that may be at attractive prices. No one can control what the market will do next. You can, however, take advantage of investment opportunities that exist today. At the same time, it is important to be well positioned for whatever the market does tomorrow. Please call me, Philip Biffle, or stop by my office today to develop your personalized recovery plan investment strategy. Please call me, Philip Biffle, at 229-0444, or stop by my office today to develop your personalized recovery plan investment strategy. Edward Jones, Making Sense of Investing, member SIPC.
We're right back here, Sharp Fast's Gallery this afternoon. Hey, I am Ann Eller, and I am here with Shannon Riley. He is House District 13, wants to be our next House representative down there, wants to take over Gene Pinson's job. Gosh, Gene Pinson was there for so many years. I saw Gene the other day. He says he's still working.
I'm sure he is.
There's no retirement for him, just retiring, I guess, from politics. But we had a caller call in who wants to know what you think about transparency, specifically on votes at the legislature. Now, if I remember correctly, some of the votes are absolutely targeted, and I can't remember exactly how it works down there anymore, but they have changed the rules that they had.
Right, they have. I know Nikki Haley has done a lot to make those votes more transparent and make it obvious or make it easy to be accessible.
Sure.
I would certainly be in favor of that. And every vote that I make, I think, would be, I'd be certainly in favor of anything that shows how I do vote for those things.
Sure. Yeah. You know, some legislatures put out every week during the session an email that says, this is what went on, and this is what I felt, and this is what I did. Will you be thinking about doing that, Shannon?
I think that's a good idea. You know, it's, you know, I've not been there to know exactly how much comes through and how much you have to deal with in a week. And
how little help you'll have getting this done.
That's
okay,
right.
Good.
But I would love, in theory, it's a great idea, and I know some legislators do get it done, and hopefully if I'm elected, I'd love to talk to those guys and find out how they do it and be able to put some things out there to show, you know, what we've done this week and how I voted on it and why I felt I needed to vote the way that I did. One thing I hope I can do if I'm elected is, you know, and I know this won't happen in all cases, but if I have a bill that comes through that you know, pops up on my radar, that would be of particular interest to Greenwood or the folks here. You know, I've spent a lot of time out working and meeting with any organization that will meet with me and talk with me, and I'd love to be able to pick up the phone and call them and say, hey, this is something we have coming through. You know, how do you feel on it? What's your view on this? And I think that's something that won't be able to be done all the time, because I'm sure things get crazy and hectic when bills are coming through, and especially in a rapid manner sometimes, but I plan to do that.
Well, you know, according to our Constitution, it's not supposed to move too fast. So I think that would be an excellent thing to do, because what are you supposed to be doing? Representing the
That's right.
The people.
Representing the people. And I think, you know, another thing we can do is cut down the amount of bills and resolutions that come through the House so that we don't have to take time passing resolutions on a local level.
Mm-hmm.
It's great to recognize folks and their accomplishments. But I think if we could find a way to do that in a different manner so that it doesn't take up so much time there, it wouldn't push things past the end of the session into the summer. And I think we could deal with more important things head on.
You know, one of the things that I think is actually crucial that keeps getting put off, because there's always an election coming up, is tax reform. I mean, we have so many. This is the same thing on the federal government level as we do on our state government level. But redoing the tax for our state taxes would be a phenomenal thing to do, and yet it keeps getting put off. How do you feel about this?
Well, you know, I hear that from folks from time to time, and one of the things that I hear people talk about is our sales tax exemptions,
mm-hmm.
and we apparently have more sales tax exemptions than any other state. Maybe not more than any other state, but we're right up there at the top of the list. And
are you saying we believe in special interest here in South Carolina?
Well, I have to tell you, Ann, you know, I believe in a level playing field for all businesses, and but you know, I do have a soft spot for the farmers, and when they have their sales tax exemptions for the little bit of baling twine or fence wire they buy, you know, coming from a farming family, I'm certainly a proponent of those tax exemptions, but no.
Taxes on their fuel too.
Right.
Right.
If there's off-road diesel fuel that you might use in your tractors, as long as you're not driving the vehicle on the road. You don't pay those road taxes. So there's a decreased rate, and there's actually a dye in the fuel that's a different color that shows off-road versus on-road fuel. So.
Okay. And so if I want to get a four-wheel vehicle to just drive off-road, can I get that exemption? I don't own one, so I was thinking about it.
I guess if you file a Schedule F on your income tax return, you could probably do that.
Okay, all right. Just checking on this, but there are a lot for everything from boats to luxury cars to RVs. I mean, there's and I've talked about them not only with you but with other people, and of course it does kind of not make sense to get exemptions for luxury vehicles, et cetera, does it?
Right. It doesn't make a lot of sense. And I think, you know, we've talked about this before, consumption tax. I think that's a much more fair tax than the income tax. That way the tax burden is spread across, you know, all aspects of the buyer, of the community. You know, I don't know that we'll ever see that happen, but I think that's a much fairer approach for taxes.
But are you going to be able to get them down there in Columbia to go ahead and tackle this issue? I mean, you know, I'm blue in the face talking about tax reform, and yet nobody seems ready to touch it. It seems like, well, after the election. Well, you know what? In less than 2 weeks, this election will be over. In January, you'll be going down there to Columbia.
Well, if I'm elected, I'll be going down to Columbia in January, and I hope that I do have that opportunity to serve. You know, as a freshman legislator, I don't know what your ability is to operate in Columbia and within the General Assembly. So I'd hate to make you a promise that I can't keep, but I can tell you that that's certainly something that will be on my radar and something that I'll definitely be putting out there and do everything I can to try to make sure that that's something that, you know, at least people know down there that we in Greenwood want addressed.
Absolutely. All right. Now, one of the other issues out there that's been a biggie over the last couple of years, of course, is the unemployment issue, how much unemployment people get over time. The unemployment tax, of course, has gone up, and in truth, for businesses, it should have gone up. The rates were so low, $7,500. I think as of next year, it'll either be $12,000 or $14,000, which is really a much more reasonable price. But what do you think about the unemployment, health and human services, that whole area?
Well, I tell you, Ann, I'm a big believer in health and human services and helping people who truly cannot help themselves. And we've talked about this before, but, you know, there are folks in our society that I believe are entitled to our help, and those are senior citizens, veterans, and special needs folks. You know, we have the Burton Center here in Greenwood, which is a wonderful, wonderful resource.
Absolutely.
I can't imagine where Greenwood would be without the hard work of Mr. Felton Burton, you know, having that here and spreading that and, you know, the message that he put out there, not only in Greenwood but across this state.
Sure.
And you know, I think it's a great thing that they do. So I believe in funding and helping them and helping any of those who truly cannot help themselves. Now, the folks who don't choose to help themselves, the folks who feel entitled because they know that there may be a check coming if they just come up with a reason that they may not want to work, I think we need to differentiate. And I think we need to try to get some of those folks back to work. If they're going to be on unemployment, I think we do need programs like the one we discussed earlier that helps put people back to work if they're going to be on unemployment and be productive. You know, when you sit home all day and you don't get things done, it's not good for you mentally, it's not good for you physically, you know, when you get out and you work and you do something, you come home at the end of the day, there's a sense of accomplishment, there's a sense of pride, you know, it's good for you. You feel like you've made a difference in the world that day. You feel like you've earned what you've made that day. Mm-hmm. And I think that's good for us.
Absolutely. And the longer somebody is unemployed, the harder it is to go back to work. And
exactly.
That's one of the issues that we actually have in our state because since, of course, all the mills and everything are gone, we've had a huge population in that 45, 50 to 65 that hasn't been able to go to work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been very demoralizing
mm-hmm.
for a lot of our people.
Mm-hmm.
And we need jobs for these people. We need retraining for them.
Right. And you know, I think that's where we're also blessed with Piedmont Tech
mm-hmm.
and the programs that they offer. You know, they're able to bring folks in that may fall in that category and, you know, offer them classes and get them a certificate that may be specific to certain industries that we have here.
Sure.
and teach them a technical trade that will allow them to go back to work and be productive. So I think that's another resource that we have here that's valuable in Greenwood.
Absolutely. Hey, I tell you what, we're going to take a quick break here. Questions are coming in fast and furious right here on WCRS. So how about give us a call if you've got one. Shannon will be here another 15 minutes, so give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984.
Ready to race to you. These days are on.
Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of...
This year will be a simpler year. One fine gift to last a lifetime from Mother Earth with love. A diamond to light the way and create the energy to keep your love alive. Only at Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood, 229-6276.
Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday,
we're back
days.
Here at Sharp Facets Gallery. Shannon Riley in the building. He, of course, is running for House District 13, and the election is less than 2 weeks away. Shannon, I got to ask you, as you approach these last 2 weeks. I can't imagine how it is to be in this position, but how do you feel? How does it make you feel? Are you ready for it to be over, or is it just getting exciting, or what is it?
Well, it's just getting exciting, and I tell you, it is under 2 weeks now. I've been campaigning since last September. You know, I've gotten used to it, and it's become part of my daily regimen. And I'm
so
not,
after I the election, what are you going to do?
I'm not sure. I'm not going to know how to act, but no, I've enjoyed it, and I tell you, it's had its challenges, but it's had more rewards than challenges, and it's been great. The relationships I've built with folks, the new relationships, and renewing the old ones,
mm-hmm.
and talking, meeting people out on the campaign trail that I knew from years ago, and talking about the old days, and it's been a real good experience. But you know, it will definitely be over with in less than 2 weeks. So
absolutely. So. One of the questions that has come in is, you know, ethics reform is a big issue going on down there in Columbia. Governor Haley has just formed with Alan Wilson. I think they've just formed an ethics committee. And do you think that, number one, should senators and legislatures do their own ethics investigations, or should it be an outside body that does it? What do you think?
Well, I like what Nikki Haley has done with trying to form an outside committee
mm-hmm.
to handle those ethics laws and rules.
Right.
I think it's a great idea, especially with former Attorney General Henry McMaster on that committee, I believe, and one of the other attorney generals who I think was in that position during the time of Operation Lost Trust in the early 90s.
Sure.
I think those are good folks to have on that committee. I think, you know, having an objective source of viewpoint of ethics and ethics rules, I think is the way it should be.
Absolutely. So you are for that type of thing. Do you think legislatures and senators ought to be able to handle it internally, or is it better to have it on the outside?
Well, you know, I think the legislators and the senators, you know, have you know, bring to the table the fact that they understand, you know, how things are being done. You know, what things need to be done, but I think you need an external source to make certain that it balances that out. So,
you know, there's been a lot of, I know Governor Haley actually got hung up on the use of the plane, and evidently that was a little known fact that was put in the budget there at the end, that she couldn't use it. And then she, of course, has come back and said, well, then what do we need the planes for? You know, I think there's a lot of questions on how things should be done. Mm-hmm. So, and of course, there's campaign issues and campaign funding and all the transparency. Do you think that the South Carolina House and Senate has issues? I mean, every day we're confronted with, oops, this happened. I know we had Operation Lost Trust a few years ago, but, right. You know, it seems like we have a lot of those issues. What do you think, Shannon?
Right. It seems that way, and you know, I've not been there yet, so I don't know exactly, you know, what is going on there. But, you know, I can tell you that I'm not running for office for me or for any financial reasons. You know, I'm running for office because I want to serve the people of Greenwood and District 13 and the people of this state. You know, I don't see anything in it for me financially. You know, I don't see it as a way to make money, and I certainly don't want to become a career politician. I know everybody says that, but, you know, I go back to what I tell you every time I'm here, and that is I love the farm, and I love my family, and that's where I love to be. And
so how long would you like to be in politics? You know, well, some people have said, you know, two terms, maybe three terms. You know, what is your position on that, Shannon?
Well, the thing that I don't know is, like we mentioned earlier, is how long it takes to get there and become effective. And, you know, I'd love to believe that you can go there your first term and be effective, but I just don't know that you can.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to try my best to be able to do that. You know, I think there's going to be a good bit of time where I have to spend, if I'm elected, to keep my mouth closed and my ears open and learn the process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is a learning curve.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think that's going to take some time. But, you know, I would like to think that in 2 to 3 terms, you know, just about anybody can get done what they need to do. But I've not been there, and I don't know what it takes to be effective. So I can just tell you that I have no intention of making this my career. And I don't just tell you that because that's the popular trend of things to say. It's just that, you know, again, my passion is here in Greenwood. And, you know, again, I was taught to have a sense of community and to care about what's going on in our community. And I want to see that represented in a sincere way.
Absolutely. Well, then, all righty. Now, school vouchers. Mm-hmm. That's been something that school vouchers, and also there's been the issue of grading teachers, another issue that's kind of surrounded and swirling with all the school issue, of course, is the fact that we took money this year from the federal government to fund payroll increases for teachers. Teachers had not had a raise, but one of the concerns is, what do we do about next year and the year after? Are we going to got to keep those pay raises? I don't think we can take them back if the money's not there. So how do you feel about grading teachers, let's say, and, you know, they've come up with grading them, and how do you feel about taking the money from the federal government for that aspect?
Well, if you know, grading the teachers is an issue of quality or quality of teachers, you know, I think that as any other profession, we need to make sure that the teachers that we have are doing the job they need to do. But I don't think that's the big problem we have with public education or with education in general. I don't know a single teacher who teaches because they're doing it for the money. I know plenty of teachers who have told me that, you know, we do it for less money, but what we care about is the kids. And I think teachers teach because they're passionate about it. You know, as with any other line of work, you know, you have folks who are more motivated than others. And I think there needs to be accountability for teachers, but I don't think there needs to be a lot of pressure on them to make the students make a certain grade. I think, you know, when you take a variety of students from all backgrounds of life and you throw them into a classroom and you deal with, you know, no child left behind,
mm-hmm.
No ability-based grouping, and you're trying to teach to the middle, and then you have this pressure to teach and get kids to make a certain score on a standardized test, I just don't think that's good. I think, you know, some folks just don't take standardized tests well, and there's a lot of.
So how do you prove that you're doing a good job for students?
Well, from what I know, there are some checks and balances for that. You know, I think we do need to have accountability for teachers as we do with anybody else. But you know, I think the teachers need all the support they can get. You know, we've taken away their ability to discipline in the classroom, which is a huge inhibitor for teaching a child. We don't have parental accountability for a lot of students, and that's not the student's fault.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have parental accountability. So without discipline and parental accountability, it makes it an extremely big challenge. So, I think there does need to be some form of making sure that teachers are doing what they need to do. But I know when I was in school, we had folks that came in and they observed and they saw things. But I don't
think they have the paddle.
No, they didn't, but the principal did.
You know, one of the things that I think is difficult when, do you think that standards and whatnot should come in from the federal government? Should they come from the state level? Or is it something that should be just on the local level and based on what the local level has to deal with?
Well, I think the local level. I think the less that we are mandated and controlled by the federal government, the better.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that, every school district is different. There are different demographics.
There,
I think that it's better seen on a local level because nobody knows better than the teachers and the administrators what they're dealing with. And so what their needs may be are best determined by them.
Absolutely. Now, one of the questions that came in that was, how much financial or what type of incentives would you want the state to offer industry? What type of things? You were talking earlier, we talked about the big businesses. They always seem to get all the breaks and the little businesses don't.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as trying to get industry in here, what type of things should the state, should the Commerce Department, should be allowed to offer? What do you think, Shannon?
Well, I am a proponent of getting big businesses in here, but I think the small guys need help more. So as far as the big businesses, I feel like they get a good many incentives already with tax breaks, property tax breaks, and otherwise. But, we need them too, and we need to help them too. So,
are there things that you think could be done for the financial aspect? I mean, we talked earlier about some of the smaller businesses helping them. But, I think that always is an issue. It's either how do you determine what you're going to give to what industry to make a difference?
Right, and I think you can't promise the moon and not give them everything. I mean you can't give them everything, and I think we need a level playing field, and between the small businesses and them. So, it's good to get them in here.
Right.
It's good to try to help them,
This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. We're going to take a minute and take a couple more questions for Shannon. So kind of like you'd like to see incentives, but you're not really sure what type of incentives would work.
Right.
Would that be fair to say?
That'd be fair.
So we can anticipate, as all the small businesses, if Shannon Riley is elected, that we'll see some help coming down the pike maybe. Could we say that,
Shannon? Let's hope so.
All right. Well, and some of the things that they could give really wouldn't cost the government that much. I mean, I think we can say it's some of the incentives that they give to big businesses certainly could help out on smaller ones.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Bill Maltre, a pilot. This is a plain question. Plain question is ridiculous. Any CEO, this is going back to Governor Haley. A plain question is ridiculous. Any CEO of billion-dollar company and the state is an enterprise, let's think of return on use of investment. Real quick, Shannon, what do you think about the planes? Is it something when Governor Haley, she has used them to go around to do announcements and whatnot, getting from one part of the state to another part of the state? Do you think that we should have a plane? Because this is what he's saying, that it's ridiculous. Any CEO of a billion-dollar company, well, guess what? The state of South Carolina, it is a company, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And the state is an enterprise. Let's think return on use of investment. So what do you think?
Well, my thought about planes would be that it would be faster and more efficient, but is it worth the amount of money that it costs to use them? And I personally have flown once in my entire life.
So you're in favor of planes, so you can ride around. Okay, no.
I don't like flying. So.
Okay.
But no.
As far as is it a good investment for the state to have a plane? I mean,
I think that depends on the cost.
Okay.
And if it's something that's an absolute must that they must have to get to multiple functions, you know, in a day, whereas driving would not be feasible and they have to have that, then that's one thing that, you know, I'd have to look at the specifics of.
Okay.
But if not, I think, you know, if it's exorbitant, if it costs so much money that it's costing the taxpayers too much money and it's an unnecessary luxury, I don't think we need it.
Okay. All right. Well, Bill, you just heard it from the mouth of Shannon Riley right here on WCRS. I think we have covered about all the questions that have come in, Shannon, and this has been very, very exciting to have you here this afternoon. I'd like to give you 2 minutes to tell people why they should vote for you on November 6th.
Well, thanks, Anna. I want to thank you again for having me here. Again, it's always a pleasure. It's always fun to be here and talk about politics and otherwise with you. But, you know, again, I just want to go back to the fact that, you know, over a year ago I decided to run for office here. My intentions are one thing, and that is to represent the people of Greenwood sincerely, to be proactive as I possibly can be, to be accessible to them, for them to know where I stand on all the issues. And, you know, I just would appreciate the support of folks that see that and realize that. And it's been a great experience. Win or lose, it's been something that I've enjoyed. It's been a great character building experience, and I hope that I've shown folks over the past year and proven to them that I'm someone that they can trust and someone who's going to represent them fairly and earnestly in Columbia.
Absolutely. Now, if somebody has a question, Shannon, after we get off the air, how should they get in touch with you?
Well, you can visit my website at www.rileyforhouse.com. You can send me an email through that website there. You can call me anytime at 864-992-4585, and those are the two ways that are best to get in touch with me.
Absolutely. Well, Shannon Riley, we wish you all the best as the final 2 weeks come down. I know that everybody, whether you're voting on local issues, state issues, or federal issues, you need to get out and vote on November 6th. What
please,
do you say?
Please do.
Yes.
Please do.
Please get
it's
out there.
It's an important right.
It is. Shannon, thanks so much for coming out today.
Thank you, Ann.
All right. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. We will be posting the podcast for that either today, tomorrow at the latest, and the video. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Hey, I'll be back in the morning tomorrow. My very special guest at 9:05, Karen Petty, will be here from the Humane Society, so make sure you tune in. That's going to do it for me. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, everybody.
Wednesday, happy days. Thursday.